your gospel and your prayers, of course, always do. About once a year, the Lord gives me a thought on dealing with sorrow. And I want to talk about that a little bit today, by the Lord's help. Sorrow is part of life. Have you ever noticed the colors that there are that we see in life around us? I had a friend who was colorblind, and I kind of felt sorry for him. He said the first he knew about it, his family were painters, and they sent him into a room to paint it blue, and he painted it a different color. And his dad came in and scolded him for it, told him to get the one that was blue, and he went out and brought in another bucket. And Miss White tried that several times and realized that his son couldn't tell colors. I'm glad I can tell colors, aren't you? And look around the building here this morning, and the light colors and ceiling and the walls and so forth make it pleasant in here and inviting. But I'm glad the wood is a different color. Life is like that too. And I notice as I look out over a congregation this morning, there are some folks who have light pink and white and different other colors, but there's some of us with the dark colors too. They have their place in life, don't they? Life has got dark colors in it as well as bright. Have you ever noticed that when a person, when an orchestra or a musician is tuning an instrument, they always start with the lowest strings first, the bass string, and then they go up to the higher ones. And in life, it's like that. People have different voices. Some people are soprano, and some people are tenor, and some people are bass. Soprano usually carries the melody. It's lilting, it's high, it's, well, it stirs emotion. Solemn old bass down there, just thump, 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 but it sets the rhythm. It's nice to have inspiration, beauty and color and things that play on the high strings of life, but the reality is that the sorrows that we experience in life, they provide the rhythm. They're what stabilize us. If all life were just high emotion, we'd be overcome. We wouldn't be able to live stable, normal lives. God knows that. And God knows a whole lot more things than I could possibly explain to us any this morning. I don't understand all the wisdom that he uses in governing his world. If you want to keep your sanity going through life, you have to learn to let God be God. Because there are things we will never be able to explain in this world that happen to people. Our consolation in life is not that we understand everything that happened. It's that we trust one who made it all and governs us, and he knows how to regulate it in the manner that it pleases him. Have you ever had an experience in your life where it looked like you were going to be killed this instant? I was working on a job one time. It was in the front of a store, and there was a heavy I-beam up over my head, 12 feet in the air, something like that. And there was a welder up there working on that I-beam, and I guess he had a cutting torch that day. And I was right underneath him, and he cut about that much off of that I-beam, and it just missed my hard hat when it came down. And he didn't even think about what was going to happen when he cut that off. And it wasn't my job, I wasn't paying any attention. Hickey was very apologetic and so forth, but my thought was, if I'd have moved forward just a little bit farther, that the hard hat wouldn't have been nearly enough to protect me. You ever had an experience like that? I suppose just about every one of us have at one time or another. None of us would be here if it hadn't been for the mercy of the Lord. And yet, there are some times, for reasons we can't explain, that he pulls that back. And he does what he wants to with his own. I wondered about James. James was John's brother. He was an apostle. He was a Jew of the Jews. He had been John the Baptist's disciple. And he was Jesus' disciple for 3.5 years. The Lord spent that time specially training him. And just shortly after Jesus was crucified, Herod caught him and cut his head off. And you look at that and say, why, Lord? Why do we invest all that effort into James and then it goes for nothing? It didn't have very long to minister to anybody. It looked like the world, I mean, Judas had already quit. Why go with just 11? Why go with 11 when you, well, for 10, I mean, to say when you could have 11? That mystery's too great for me. I don't understand. And folks, if you want to keep your sanity in this world, you're going to see some things that you can't understand. The beauty and mystery of the gospel is that even when we're wearing the dark colors, God's got a way to comfort and keep us through it all. And he knows the end from the beginning, and he has the grace and the blessing and the victory to give us as we go along the way. I'd like to read you some verses from the 34th Psalm. It was written by David. It was written at a dark point in his life. Every life's going to have some darkness in it. Every life's going to play the bass notes of the guitar once in a while. Some people God appoints to sing the high notes. But there are people that God appoints to sing the low notes in life. And if you have someone who's a friend like that, they have their place too. Let me read you what David said in Psalm 34 and 11. This poor man cried, and the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. My parents taught me that when I was young. They made it the center point of their life. I heard it many times growing up. They got into money troubles. They got into problems that come with raising teenage children. They got into problems with people rejecting them that they thought should have accepted them. All the things that go with life, illness sometimes. And it always come back to this scripture, and I'm reading it to you today in the hope that you too will write it on the tables of your heart. This poor man cried. Well, David was headed toward being king, and he was a very wealthy king. But I tell you, folks, we're everyone poor sometimes in many ways. When we compare to God, we're poor. And when we come to him and we're hurting somewhere, thank God he gave us the liberty to say, I'm poor. I'm poor. I can't afford what it would take to make me feel good today. Lord, help me with this. This poor man cried. This is a promise. And the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. All of them. All of them. Marriage troubles, family troubles, home troubles, sorrow troubles. He saved him out of all of them. I have a sad story to tell you a little bit. Brother James Bell. He's a chaplain at the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office here in Oklahoma. And he's gone on many a ride to go to somebody's home and tell them, well, your loved one, car wreck or some other accident, and have to tell you're gone. He said, I looked out in my driveway and I saw that prowl car pull up in the driveway and I saw the officer get out and the chaplain. And I said, I knew right away what they were there for. I said, what'd you do, James? He and I were pretty tight. He said, they told me this time it's you. He said, I fell over on the sofa and hit my head on the arm of it. But he faced up to it. He's dealt with it like a man. He prayed down the grace to go on. When Job got the message that he did, he tore his garments. He didn't lose his self-control. He didn't throw himself. Have you ever seen somebody do that when bad news comes? Just give up. Just get hysterical, and go crazy and be wild. You can't make anything better by doing that. Job listened to everything that was said to him of the disaster that came his way. And he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job survived his trouble. And folks, you and I can survive ours too. When we wear the dark clothes, when the day is darker, they're not all bright. There's rain too. When those days come, we can survive that. This poor man cried and the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. He has a consolation to give that no one else can. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You believe that? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, but he said, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Then he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, But the Lord delivered them out of them all. Our body has certain natural functions we don't even have to think about. Have you thought about breathing since you've been here in this building? Have you thought about, I need to keep my heart beating? It just does that, doesn't it? And every natural function that our body has is for survival. And our appetite, our need for water, our need for sleep. You don't have to tell people to sleep if they're following the natural rhythms of their bodies, because they naturally do. Tears are a natural function of the body. Did you know that we people are the only one of God's creation that cry? Animals don't cry. God put a fountain of tears in each one of our hearts. That's the truth. Because we have emotions we need to be able to deal with, and this is a part of the function of being able to do it. I think of it like a hot water tank. Hot water tank has got a pop-off valve on the side of it. You turn the temperature up under it, something goes wrong with the gas and it just keeps building up. You can make that tank blow up after a while, but that's happened enough times so that the people who invent them have put a valve on the side of it. And when the water temperature reaches a certain pressure in there, something's not turning off like it should, that valve pops open. And the tank doesn't blow up. I think of our tears that way. Sometimes people are ashamed of tears. I suppose all of us feel like we wish we wouldn't have to cry any tears. But it's a pop-off valve. It's a safety that the Lord put within us. It's put there to protect us. It's a natural function that he put in our hearts. Did you know Jesus sanctioned weeping? The Bible said Jesus wept. Jesus taught us to weep. He told the women of Jerusalem to weep for themselves and for their children. I tell you, it's a mother's role to weep for her children. You don't love them very much if you don't weep for them somewhere along the journey that they have. The Lord knew you were going to have that. It's a fountain that the Lord put within us to give us a way to express our emotions. And we need to. Things bottled up inside us too much are not good for us. Emotions are, they're like those colors that I mentioned. They're meant to lend color and beauty to life. It's a good thing that you enjoy the taste of apples. And it's a good thing when the sun shines on you on a cool day and you feel the warmth on the back of your neck. I'm glad we can feel that. I'm glad we can feel pleasure. When somebody we love comes in the room, the expression that lights their face and lights ours, emotion is good for us. But emotion, even the deepest of emotions, sorrowful emotions, such emotions as Job felt, they're meant to be guided and controlled and governed. It's a bad thing, folks. Lord help me know how to express this. You can get a sudden shock and just lose all your self-control. And when people do that, it breaks something inside of them. It's a step to a nervous breakdown. It's not a good thing to just surrender control of your emotions. The Lord wants to give you and me grace under the severest shock to keep ourselves in control. I asked Brother James about this too. So what happens when you go to somebody with a message they don't want to hear? He said, I've had people spit at me. He said, I've had people jump on me and try to attack me because I came and told them something they're going to find out anyway. And I didn't cause it to happen, but the attitude killed the messenger. When bad news comes, I had people turn and run away. That didn't make anything better. The emotions are there. You're going to have to face them at some time. The Lord's given us promises, like I've been reading to you, where he said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Cry means agony. It means sorrow. But thank God there is a way when we're in our greatest distress. We don't have to just blow up and lose control. We can turn to him. And he intends to give us grace to be able to bear up under it. Religion doesn't destroy natural emotions. It guides and controls and curbs and comforts. Weeping is part of the cycle of human life. Solomon said, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. But let me read you this one too. David again, probably the 30th Psalm and the 5th verse. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's an old doctor saying, Most things are better by morning. And it applies concerning the sorrows that we have in life too. I'm old now, and I've had some of my share along the journey, and I've learned some things about it. I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. Well, no need to elaborate there. But I've learned that sorrow changes you. It makes you wiser, and it makes you sadder. It makes you more compassionate, better able to understand others. We need those things going through life. Young people need some gray heads around them that have tasted life's hardship and learned how to weather it. It can mean so much. Just at the right time, a hand on the shoulder, somebody to steady you. I've done that with folks and had them turn around and just sob on my shoulder and didn't even say a word to them, just touched them. But it means something that you're not alone. Somebody else is here with you. And I never go tell somebody when we have a sorrowful message. Never say to them, I know how you feel. Nobody really knows how you feel, but you do. But I can say I know how I felt when I was in that place. And I'm here for you. I love you. I learned to do that. You will too. By the things we suffer. Jesus Christ learned that. Yet learned the obedience through the things that he suffered. Now you folks who are here all the time, you know I like poetry. I'm told you weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There is no sorrow that's meant to be eternal while we're in this world. Old Brother Anonymous wrote this one. He said, I felt an angel near today, the one I could not see. I felt an angel oh so close, sent to comfort me. I felt an angel's kiss soft upon my cheek, and oh, without a single word of caring did it speak. I felt an angel's loving touch soft upon my heart, and with that touch I felt the pain and hurt depart. I felt an angel's tepid tears fall softly next to mine, and knew that as those tears did dry, a new day would be mine. I felt an angel's silken wings enfold me with pure love, and felt a strength within me grow, a strength sent from above. I felt an angel oh so close, the one I could not see. I felt an angel near today, sent to comfort me. That's why we have worship services. One of the reasons the Lord sent in his angels. We need it from time to time, all of us do, to provide that special solace or comfort that he's going to go with us when the times are difficult. Well, I had another conversation with Brother James this way. He said, for 9 months I taught an anger management class in the prison where he's working. And he said, there were women there. He said, yeah, they're hard, hard women. He said, they've been through terrible things. And it's can't explain them. He said, I got women there that have shaved half their head and dyed the other half. And he said, that means something. They're sending a signal of some kind. He said, I did that for 9 months, and I could tell I wasn't being very effective, wasn't doing anything. Prayed about it. He recommended this song to me. I never heard it before. And I don't have it here now, but I'm going to recommend it to you. But the title of it is Butterfly Kisses. And it's about a father with his little daughter. And he said, I would go in to tell her good night and bend over her, and I would say my prayer for her. And she would greet me with butterfly kisses. And she got to grow up, got to be 16 years old or so, making her start, trying out her wings, is a way to put it, in the world, and with the setbacks and disappointments and the joys and delights and uncertainties that go with being young. And she came in, and he said, she gave me butterfly kisses. And he said, it came a day when there stood a young man up there beside her, and I was giving her away, and I felt like I was giving my daughter away. And she turned to him and reminded him of the bond that they had shared. He said, Ed, those hard women, he said, we needed Kleenex everywhere. There's something in them that touched them. You see, God gives people something special to use to comfort one another. Jesus Christ, when he was here, who created this world, yet had his physical needs. And the Bible tells us, I believe it was Luke who told us, that there were certain women who ministered to him of their substance when he'd been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. He has a list of them. I believe it's in the second of Luke, second verse. certain women which had been healed of spirits and infirmities. Now, if you've lived your life and the dark days came, as they will to us all, I see dark clothing here today as well as bright, and that's life. And when the dark days come, and if you've allowed it to twist you and make you bitter and make your own life dim and hopeless so that you can't enjoy the good days when they come, then you don't really have much to give anybody else. The fountain of water that you'd give to them has got bitter, it's got gall in it. But if you have the experience these folks had, he said, certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, spiritual infirmities, physical infirmities, they got healed of it. And it changed them. It changes the way you look at things when you get a healing and a blessing. It says, Mary called Magdalene, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod, Steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him. Jesus had a coat. He had shoes. You think they wore out once in a while? Jesus got hungry. Wouldn't it be something to have Jesus come to your house and say, what would you like for dinner tonight, Lord? Most powdered rice, a little above beans and cornbread. Whatever, put on the best that you could. I don't think it would matter so much to Jesus. He'd take whatever you had. The point is, women have got something to minister that the best of men can never match. A comfort, something God put in them, makes them special and unique. We need that. We need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We need the comfort that Jesus gives. But folks, we need the comfort that our sisters can give to them. Face your dark days. Pray your way through it. God's got something to give you when it's that way. You will find that what he's given you will make you better able to help those you love the most in all the world. That's not all he said. Certain, he says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Listen to me, folks. People can get in a place in this world where they feel like there's just no courage left to go on. Tomorrow's too hard to face. Did you know we can give strength to each other when we're in a time like that? Said, I've written unto you, young men, but it means all of us in a way. Anybody with some strength to give. It's hard to go through sorrow. I'm sorry Adam did what he did, but since it is that way, our loving Father will take the sorrows that come our way to equip us both to deal with more sorrow ourselves and stay whole inside and to have something to give to those around us. I'll wrap it up with this. Old brother Isaiah said it, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as a learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. It means I faced it like Jordan did. Now let me unwrap this verse a little bit. The Lord God hath given me the tongue, one of the translations says, of a discipler. You got anybody you'd like to disciple? Now I got a bunch of them. I got some family members that I love dearly. And when I get together with them, it's not always happy what's going on. They're doing things I wish they wouldn't do. And have you ever cut yourself and been bleeding? And you stand, it kind of makes you sick a little bit. Because it's not the color. You know if something doesn't happen, you're not going to be here very long. Have you ever looked at some of your family members and seen what they're doing and thought, this can't go on this way? You're not going to be here very long if you keep doing what you're doing. I'd love to help you with it. Well, folks, it's hard to know how to help some people. But here's a scripture that promises the very best way there is. The Lord God hath given me, said, the tongue of a discipler. Somebody who can find the best way that there is to help somebody else. And how did he learn that? Isaiah told us in the verses above, he said, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to those that plucked off the hair. I didn't fight them. I didn't resist them. I prayed my way through it. It didn't make me bitter on the inside. Now I know what sorrow is. And these people who are in sorrow around me, they know that I know some about what sorrow is too. And if I keep a cheerful, holy spirit in my life, it's the best shot I got. to help those that are around me. They're not all going to make it. I'm satisfied there. There's some of the people I've loved are already in eternity without much hope for their soul. And I expect there's going to be some more there. And I grieve over every one of them. I will do everything I can to keep it from being that way. Well, if I would have it be that way, then live life. Can't avoid sorrow. Jesus had it. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Can't avoid it. But I can get help from it. I want to take advantage of it. Receive the blessing that it has for my soul. Can enable me to be a help to somebody else that I love dearly along the way. And that's you. And what about you? Don't you feel that way about me? I have dark days too. Can I have some of your blessing? Will you share with me? You know what that means? We come out here at a prayer meeting, and what did the Bible say? One half the song, one half an exhortation. We come out here and let it into each other by sharing with each other the precious, gentle, sweet Spirit of the Lord. We don't do anything more than sing a song. And we sing it together. And the Lord's in it. It's got a comfort in it. Share our lives with each other. I'll tell you my old Poodle Benning story. Never forget, Brother Poodle was a very dear friend, an emotional man. Years and years ago, he got saved. He's a heat and air man. And the devil was working on him, and things hadn't been going too good for him. He was up in an attic, and hot, and he could just see out through the vent. And one of the brethren, that same moment, drove down the highway, and he said, I just saw the end gate of his truck going by. And he encouraged me. And I found the courage. He's still living saved today. That'll work for you and me too, brethren. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this morning.